side to read the Daily Bread. And that's not to say that's not a great morning devotional, because it really is, and it's a great how it teaches us God's word and makes it applicable, but that's really the only time I put in, and I don't really consider that quiet time that you need to have with the Lord, where you can just truly put aside a good block of your day, whether it's in the morning or wherever you get the chance. So really growing up, I just really treaded lightly with God's word. That's really all I did. And I just struggled with the world. It was just always a temptation. I always seemed to be in the wrong group of friends. One thing I was really good at was putting on a facade. And you hear that a lot in the church of believers, that unfortunately a lot of believers become worldly and they're able to put on a face and take everything at face value and look like they're good. And I was really good at that because I was a shy and quiet guy. It didn't appear that I was really doing anything horribly wrong, but in my mind, I was just struggling with the world was enough to know that I was doing wrong. So that's really how I grew up. I was a babe in Christ, always drinking the spiritual milk, but never really, as Ernie Richards told me in our marriage counseling, you got to get to the meat. You got to get past the milk sometimes and start chewing on that spiritual meat, God's word, and taking the time. So why I was hesitant is really in 2003 is when my life was changed, when God took a hold of me. My career was really, it flipped upside down. I had been a graphic designer, been doing very well for myself, and I was released from a job. So somebody took me under their wing, and I, for whatever reason, God led me to the police academy. So I graduated from the police academy that year, and I was pursuing police work. I was very close. I made it to a few final interviews, a few of the captain interviews, and I was well on my way. And one of the things that scared me was just hearing that I'd be on third shift for a couple years. So why not practice? So that's why I kind of lead into this. I worked third shift at Harley-Davidson as a security officer, the 35th and Juneau location. Some of you may know or not know, to the north of that is one of the worst neighborhoods in Milwaukee, at least from my knowledge. So I'd work in this guard shack. It was called the North Guard Shack, all night, just overlooking this neighborhood, making sure people didn't jump the fence and jump the creek and come into Harley. And that property of Harley was very valuable, just in that that was where they did all the testing on their new concept vehicles, concept bikes, and things like that. So I'd see some of the worst things in this neighborhood, and just on top of all the things that were going through my mind with my career and just how I'd been living my life, not for the Lord at all. So overlooking this neighborhood, you'd see just strange things. You would never see crime right before my eyes because I had cameras and just listening in on our radios. One story I just recall, a girlfriend and boyfriend were fighting, and the girlfriend came out of the house shooting a gun, and it was right before me, and he drove through a garage. So we had to do the police report. So I just remember just being in a lot of anguish in that guard shack. Just that was my dark place. Just not going well for me as I thought. So I turned to the Lord. I cried out to him. I said, Lord, I just give you my life now. I've struggled with you my whole entire life. Just ask for you to change me. I repent of my sins and I want to change for good. And he really grabbed hold of me and tight. I flipped on the radio and WVCY was on of all channels, and I listened to music till dawn that night and every night moving forward. So it's been a real blessing to me. I also carried my Bible with me everywhere on that job, because you jump from shack to shack, guard shack to guard shack, or position to position. I just carried my Bible in my arm and I had really no fear. And the Bible teaches us to have boldness when we go out and speak the word, and I guess there's no better boldness than carrying God's word with you. It just, people can't help to ask you, well, why do you carry that? I mean, why, people don't see people carrying a Bible that often other than when we're walking into the doors of church. Perhaps some of us read it on our lunch hour, so it's just one of the things I've always made it a point that I just have God's word with me. So that's a little bit of introduction. After God took a hold of me, that day, in 2003, he changed my life again. I really stopped hanging out around with all of my friends. They really wanted nothing to do with me when I told them how Christ can save me. A couple times they tried dragging me down back into parties and things like that, but there's no way the Lord was going to let me do that after how he changed me and after I truly knew he had forgiven my sins. So I stopped hanging out with them, and I remember my brother and a good friend, we decided it was time that we have to see Christian friends, true believers. So we started attending a youth group together, a 20-something group, actually. Met a lot of great people, friends who I have today. Most importantly to me is that's where I met my lovely wife, Katie. Just remembered just her laugh and everything and thinking back to that time. And I just couldn't believe that God was bringing somebody so special into my life after all this time and after struggling and striving with him. And then also, on top of it, she introduced me to a good friend who knew of a creative director position. So I found God gave me a wonderful girlfriend at the time and a job back into really what my passion was. So he took me out of that guard shack, that low point in my life, to really put it straight. So yeah, Katie and I, while dating and then we were engaged, we decided that with marriage counseling, we just really looked up to Ernie Richards and Karen, and we decided it'd be just wonderful to have counseling from somebody who just imparts such great truths as we heard today in a way that we can understand while still just is so complex when you think of God's word too. So yeah, while doing that marriage counseling, it was completely different than what I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be more of 1 Corinthians 13, love and couples. He took it at a whole different angle. He really rocked my world, that you could say, in that he taught us doctrines of the faith. And I remember him looking at me in the eye and saying, "Corey, do you know what positional truth is? Talk about a deer in headlights." I just froze up and I did the typical, I answered the question with the word from the question. I said, "You mean our position in Christ?" And in a part, in half part, that's exactly what it is. That's what I'm going to be speaking on a little bit today as we go into Psalm 8. So sorry for the long introduction, but if you could please again turn with me to Psalm 8. Again, that's page 298 in the Pew Bible. The theme of my message today is glory defined. I wanted to back up a step because I had one more joke to kind of lighten the mood before we come into this. As I was preparing this message, Henry was always at my feet. So either Henry or Addie, I was able to practice on them, even though I didn't know I was practicing. Henry laughs at me a lot. So if you do hear him crying or shouting, that's just a hearty amen from him, as I was saying. Amen, brother. So Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. The theme of my message is glory defined, and that verse really just starts out by telling us how excellent God's name is in all the earth. As I really started to think of this verse, though, it's an unfortunate thing that God's name isn't excellent on the earth today. It's excellent to us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know the one true God from his word. I've been thinking a lot about, probably as all of us have, the 10th anniversary of September 11th. The day it happened shocked everyone so drastically that people couldn't help but cry out to God. It was during circumstances like that, you know that there's a God that's going to help us. And we true believers know that we rest on him for everything. Thanks, Henry. I must have been right on cue there. We understand that God's name is excellent. But on that day in September 11th, you saw signs out, which is unbelievable, to pray for our nation, to bring God back into our nation. Our nation was founded on God and his principles and on his word. I've just been thinking a lot about how it's changed through the horrible circumstances and all the lives lost on September 11th, 10 years later, God's name is removed from everything. It's removed from schools. It's removed. You can't pray anymore in school. You can't even pray today at the 10th, the remembrance, at the 10th anniversary. The Mayor Bloomberg removed prayer. He banned it. How can you have a memorial service without remembering God is what I was really focusing on. But for us, there's hope because we know that Jesus Christ is going to reign and that his name is excellent. And in the future, everyone will proclaim the excellence of his name. I believe that God is the Lord. We must acknowledge him to be ours. O Lord, our Lord. We must, because he is ours. He made us. He protects us. He takes special care of us. He's the self-existent, eternal, and sovereign Lord. O Lord, our Lord. How wonderful that is. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. When you look at Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament of his handiwork. I have a lot of kids' stories because that's where I am in parenthood right now. One of the things that Addie and I do often is when it's not cloudy, we go and look at the moon and the stars. We try to find it in the sky. And she just is so enthralled with it and just seeing it up there and how she said, God put that there. He placed it there. You think of God's powerful hands and how he just created everything, the firmament, the stars, he named them all. We just think how scientists and astronomers can't even crack just the surface of the stars and how they go on and on. That's just how excellent God is who set the glory above the heavens. We think about how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How brightly God's glory shines even in this world through his creation. Being a graphic designer and just loving photography, and I kind of urge everybody to do this, is I've learned just to slow down, to just intentionally look around and just look at God's creation, all the beauty that he's created around us and the complexities. It's just really unbelievable. To look at it as a child, you could say, and that's what I've been doing a lot of lately. Just the works of creation proclaim to all the world that there is a God, a true God, and the creator Jesus Christ. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I mean, how awesome is that? You think that to the very far corners of the world, that you can't excuse that there is a God just by seeing his creation and how things work. And it's just unfortunate that the world tries to go to evolution, just the pure opposite of God, and how they try to remove God's name from everything. I was thinking back, a story that really impacted me a lot is a story of a young girl in elementary school. I remember that the teacher said, you can bring any book to school because we're going to start reading books. Well, as you can imagine, this little girl had grabbed her Bible. She was a Christian, and she brought her Bible to school. And from the very first moment on, it was just a difficult day, starting out with her getting on that school bus, her looking up at the bus driver, and the bus driver saying, what is that? She said, it's a Bible. Well, when she got to school and the kids started talking about the books they had brought, and kind of introducing them, she said that she had brought the Bible. The teacher took the Bible from her, God's word, which we hold so dearly to our hearts, and threw it in the garbage and said, don't ever bring that back. And she said, but you said I could bring any book I wanted. And she said, any book but that book. It's just, I was just thinking and putting myself in a position of Addie being a year older or two, and that happened to her, it really just shatters my heart. That's how God's word is looked at from the world today, and how we as believers have to be in his word. We have to study it, to learn how glorious our great God is and how excellent his name is, to read his word and take the time in his word and prayer. So the next thing I want to say is the part two of that first verse, who has set thy glory above the heavens? God is infinitely more glorious and excellent than anything we can see or imagine. We only hear of God's excellent name on earth. We only read of it, and we pray to him, and that's how we know he's excellent. But think of everyone that gets to praise him in heaven, that sees Jesus Christ seated on the right-hand side in all their glory. Just how just awesome and wonderful that is, the glory above the heavens. I once heard it said that God is so glorious, and because nobody's ever seen him here on earth, it's because our earthly bodies could not withstand the glory of God. We couldn't even comprehend seeing him and how powerful and awesome he is. In the exaltation, the Lord Jesus to the right hand of God, who is the brightness of his Father's glory and express image of his person, God set his glory above the heavens, far above all principalities and powers. Verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. This is a messianic psalm. I forgot to give that short introduction. The reason being is because it's quoted 3 times in the New Testament, and it's quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's quoted in Matthew 21, 15 through 16, 1 Corinthians 15, 25 through 27, and Hebrews 2, 6 through 11. It's just amazing, and the Lord Jesus Christ used this psalm, which we'll talk about. So out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. If you would please turn with me to Matthew 21, verses 15 through 16. In context, what this is telling us in Matthew is to really learn God's word. And Jesus Christ was quoting this to the chief priest, so that's where I'll start out. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. It's amazing how God will use his word, even through little children, through babes. These are obviously little children that could speak. But I just think of Matthew 18, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Just children say just amazing things to me. Just on our way here, Addie said, Jesus remembers us. And that meant a lot to me because I put so much pressure on myself preparing a message for the first time that it almost seemed like I was going at it alone. I forgot that Jesus remembers us. He remembers us through everything we do, where we are, and what circumstances we're dealing with. How awesome for her to say that. That's just fantastic. One of the things that I really love to do, it's the most important part of my day, aside from my time with Katie, is putting Addie to sleep. She always says, read me Bible stories, Dad. So we read through, right now we're reading through John 1, and I read it to her every night. We also are memorizing the books of the Bible for Sunday school, which I think she has down packed now. But I remember reading John 1 with her, and she said, "Wait, stop." And she recited it back to me word for word. And that's the first time I was really blown away, just thinking to myself how out of the mouth of babes, how they just proclaim the word of God, and how what Jesus was saying here with this little child is we have to have faith as a little child. And it's just amazing that we're converted and we're believers in Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. And it's just amazing that children can sometimes make that so simple. And they're same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, just the humility and humbleness of a little child. It's just fantastic. This verse, also in Psalm 110, it says that God's enemies are put under his feet as his footstool. One of the things that I've really thought about that somebody spoke on in one of the Lord's Supper services is that the whole world is small enough to be God's footstool. Just how glorious he is in heaven, we just can't comprehend it. Just thinking of him and how just small this earth is, it's just when I consider the heavens, the work of his fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, it's just amazing. And that takes me in the verse 3, which I just read. I wanted to read just the second part of that. What is man that, or verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Just the magnificence of everything we're reading here, of the Lord's creation and that we sang about in that hymn, it illustrates God's condescension, how far he came. As I read this psalm, that's what I was really thinking about, how just amazing these first couple of verses of Psalm 8 are. It just talks about the glory of God and his deity and how powerful he is as our God. And our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down to us here on earth to die for our sins. And that's, you just ask yourself when you read this, because it asks the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God created us here. He put us here. In the Proverbs, it says we're wonderfully and fearfully made. Going back to the positional truth that I'd mentioned earlier, we went wrong with Adam, the first sin, how he had that first spiritual death. He was separated from God. I know it's great to hear a success story, but apart from Christ Jesus, when we think about our state as seen in the first Adam, it's a story of failure. It really lets us not to ponder back on our sins, but when we just think about that time and how glorious it is that we were saved, when we came to know Jesus Christ, when we became believers in him through his death on the cross and his sacrifice. And it's just when we think about Adam, the first Adam's sin, how it was imputed onto us. The whole Bible can really be separated at the most basic form into the first Adam anybody can be seen as, or in the second Adam. That's our position as believers. We're seen as in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. As I read through the entire Bible, you just see man's sin. In the Old Testament, you see the sacrifices that were needed over and over again. But we have the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down from his glory in heaven to save us, to redeem us from our sins. We really didn't deserve that. That's what grace is. We didn't deserve anything. It's a lot of the world thinks that everything's entitled to them, a lot of people. I think one of the beauties of being a believer is the humbleness that we have by knowing that only by Christ he strengtheneth me. And that's what we always have to focus on, and that always should be humbling to us as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood on the cross. This verse also is quoted in Hebrews 2:5, so if you could turn there with me as well. And this is Hebrews 2:5. This is the most extensive quote. Hopefully I can get there one of these days. Hebrews 2:5. God's purpose, the earth, to be subject to humanity. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, where we speak. But one in a certain place testifying, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. It's amazing to know that all things were put under the Lord Jesus Christ. It's even more wonderful to know that we're put under the Lord Jesus Christ, under his protection, and just how he cares for us. And that is just an amazing thing. So that takes us to verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. It's just awesome how this psalm closes with those same words just to reassure us that it did it in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. It's just everything in the middle that just explains those two verses. It's just, this psalm has just been really touching to me as I looked into it. It's just so much the cover, just thinking of the glory to God, how Jesus Christ, the glory of Jesus Christ, how he came down from the glory of heavens. The next thing I wanted to say, the last point I wanted to make, is the glory regained. The glory regained through Jesus Christ alone. That which was the first man lost, that which the first man lost, the second man, the last Adam, more than regained. He more than took on, he took on all of our sin, not just some of it. It's just, as we go forward, that's what I want to impart on you, that our glorious God came down from heaven to die for our sins. And as we go forward, that's the most important thing that we can remember, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is everything in our lives. And we have complete victory in Jesus Christ. So as I read through this psalm and how it speaks of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, it's just amazing to see these messianic psalms and how they speak of Jesus so accurately. And they give such a clear picture. Even before Jesus Christ came down to walk this earth to die for our sins. That's really all I have. I wanted to close in a hymn that we're going to read together. It's called Heaven Came Down. It seemed like such a perfect hymn again to close this out. The chorus says, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." I just think of that when I was working in that guard shack and how we all, in a way, have our guard shack, that time when we can go back where we, life wasn't going the way we wanted, and we realized we were sinners, that we needed Jesus Christ. He turned our night into day. He is the light of the world. Addie always reminds me of that. She walks around the house saying, "Jesus is the light of the world," and I try to explain to her that the world rejected him, but he is the light of the world. He is the only way to salvation. Please close with me in prayer, and then we'll sing Heaven Came Down. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are such a glorious God and that we could see that in your word. We just pray that you would help us just to still our hearts and our minds to read your word, to see your glory. We thank you for the glory of Jesus Christ, who came down and saved us from our sins, and that we have everlasting life through him alone, and that someday we'll be in your glory with you face to face, and we'll get to worship you. And we look forward to the triumphal return of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we just pray that we take your truths with us and that we would be intentional as we go forward in our thoughts, in our what we see, that you would just, we would just see your work and how it's all by you alone. And we thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.